In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We look at pastoral ministries and what it is that God has called pastors to. And for me, as pastor of this church, I look and it's overwhelming when you think of the responsibility that is there, the accountability that we have to our congregation as well as to the church, ministering into the lives of each and every one of you. And I look and I think of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 and think, we need to do this with the ability which God supplies. There's no way that we can effectively minister. There's no way that Pastor Jeff will be able to effectively minister, or any pastor, apart from doing it with the ability which God supplies. So important that that is on the forefront of our minds, because as we go through the calling of a pastor and the calling specifically to preach the word, it is critical that anybody who is entering into the ministry does it in such humility, recognizing that it is not in the greatness of our study or of our training or our ability to speak or our ability to relate to people. The gifting of a pastor is a gifting that comes from God, and they must do it with the ability with which God supplies, in such a way that the glory does not go to any particular person, but that the glory goes to Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The speaking that is to take place is not to be the speaking that occurs as far as the cleverness of our own minds or what we're able to muster up throughout the week as we study. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's the word of God that is supposed to go forward. We are simply ambassadors to what God has entrusted us to, and that is His word, messengers of His word. That is why at Reverence Bible Church there is such an incredible emphasis on the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Going through Scripture and looking at Scripture and looking at it in such a way where the authority that is there and the authority by which we speak is not in anything that anybody else has ever written or anybody else has ever said or in our own thoughts. It is in the power of God's Word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I think of Isaiah 52 and verse 7, where he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet of the minister of the gospel who goes, and the message that comes forward is, your God reigns. Your Lord reigns. Your Lord is sovereign over all things. He is to be exalted. I think of the calling that God has placed upon Jeff's life as he is entering into pastoral ministries. And you look, and what it is calling him to is to bring good news, to preach the gospel, to tell the world that your God reigns. He's all powerful. He's sovereign over all things. There's nothing that's too hard for him. He's in control of everything. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground apart from his will. God reigns. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. We look here and there's a charge that goes forward as he begins in verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge you. Now, when we see the word therefore, it means that he's talking about something that is preceding this. And so if you turn back with me to chapter 3, verse 13, Paul here is speaking to young Timothy. Timothy is someone who is in the ministry, and here Paul, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things, writes words of counsel that would apply to me, would apply to Jeff as he's entering into the ministry, and would apply to each and every one of us as well. In verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." As Paul is teaching young Timothy here, what he's saying is that the most important thing is that you stay committed to Holy Scripture. That is what it is that you know as far as what is truth. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. It's the very words of God. It's not just a book. It's not just words. It is the very words of God that are here recorded for us in the pages of Scripture. It is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. It's not simply profitable to go through and to find happy thoughts or to go through and to try to help us feel good about ourselves. It is profitable for doctrine. What is it that we believe? What is it that we know that's true? What is it that we can live by? It is God's Word. And he says it's inspired, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The most important thing that we could ever study and learn is God's Word. It's His Word. What is it that it says? The preaching of the Word is the calling in which God has placed upon every pastor's life, to preach the Word. We live in a day where the church has gone in a way where, honestly, it's so far from the instruction that Paul is exhorting young Timothy towards. You see it where so much of what goes forward in sermons across our country is self-help teaching, psychology, throwing in a verse here and there, trying to get it to say what you really want it to say, having a message and trying to find some verse that will or some translation of that particular verse to be able to enable you to proclaim the message that you really want to give. You have an emphasis of trying to make people feel comfortable, changing the words of songs like Amazing Grace to no longer say things like, "that saved a wretch like me." No one in the congregation wants to be thought of as a wretch. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about hell. These kind of things make people feel uncomfortable. They don't want to come. Make it so that they feel loved. Make it feel that so they feel self-worth. Make it so that they really want to be there. And so you look and you see across the nation this emphasis of teaching where you know the priority that the Word has there in the preaching because it is rarely spoken. And you look at it, and this is not what God's called those in the ministry towards. It is, "I charge you. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." Preach the Word. Preach the Word. "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." As I prepare sermons, as anybody is to preach God's Word, the accountability isn't, "Well, I hope that the people in the congregation are happy with the sermon in which I've presented." No. Our accountability is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our accountability is to Him. You look, and as Jeff has entered into the ministry, we can't give a greater exhortation than what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to Peter as far as preach the Word. Don't preach Jeff Paisano. Don't preach psychology. Don't preach just simply funny stories and entertain people and make it so that they're able to feel comfortable. Don't teach different people that you've read or studied as far as making it so that their particular system of doctrine or what they've said is the authority. Rather, it is God's Word that is the authority. Preach that. Preach God's Word. Preach it. We're able to go through Scripture and not just talk about God's Word. You hear people say, don't use the word preach. People don't like the word preach. People think, don't preach at me. I don't like the word. Share some thoughts with them. Share. You have this whole movement going across the church where it's, let's not do preaching like they used to do. Let's make it so that, let's have a discussion. We'll set up couches and candles and we'll make it so everybody feels comfortable, and then let's just have a discussion. Let's not talk real authoritatively about things, because we live in a relative society where no one knows really what's true, and so just, you know, let's talk about things. And as if this is something that is just a wonderful thing. And literally, you see churches, probably the largest group of movement within Christianity today is this idea of the emerging church and making it so people feel comfortable and make it so that you take away any of the traditional things and let's not be preachy. Let's not do it. People, they don't want to sit there for 40 minutes. They don't want to hear, you know, from text like that. Make it so it's something that they'll want to listen to. That's not what we find in Scripture. The calling that goes out to anybody going into the ministry is preach the Word. What is it that God's Word says? Preach that. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Convince, rebuke, exhort, patience, with teaching. Go through and preach it in such a way that they're able to look and say, that is what God says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so as we watch Jeff, and as a congregation together, we join and say, let's pray for him as he is being ordained as a minister of the gospel. We look and we say, this is what God's called you to from beginning to end, because you're going to have people that come and say, I don't like how you're doing that. Talk too long. I can't follow you. I wish that, you know, do slides. Do excerpts from movies. Make it so that you are in tune with where we're at and feel comfortable. Literally, like, you have that and the emphasis is there. And I know it. As a pastor, I know that there's people that come through the doors of this church and just think, like, they're way too serious. I want to, like, rock out. Like, I mean, I like it when, you know, it's a little more guitar, electrical guitar, drums, you know, and none of these things are bad things, but I like it when the pastor is in a place where, hey, he's not so into doctrine. It's for theologians. It's not for me. I don't want that. And I've heard that, and as anybody going into ministry at this particular time, you hear it. It's possible for those to look and say, hey, look at the churches across the nation where they're really growing. What are they doing? What's different about them? Well, they do those things. They make people feel comfortable. They're in some of them. Are there to minister in that way. What's succeeding? What works in youth ministry? Jeff's teaching the youth ministry, and it's a serious time of worship and a serious time in God's Word, and another time of worshiping in song, and then meeting into prayer groups, and that is what takes place on Tuesday nights. I know that if you go to any youth ministry conference, they're going to say, "Are you kidding? You can't do that with high school students. You got to bust out all the fun games, and you got to make it so that you're entertaining them." And we live in an era where these kids are entertainment oriented, and they need to have multimedia, and they need all of these things. If you're going to keep their attention, here's all the things that they need in order to have that happen. And you'll go to seminar after seminar after seminar and find that these things are the case as far as what they say causes a youth ministry to succeed. And God tells you, preach the word. Just preach the word. Do it with my enabling. Do it in such a way where you're convincing them and you're exhorting them, rebuking them when necessary, with long-suffering and with teaching. So our calling to Pastor Jeff Pisano as a church is, from this day till the Lord takes you home, preach the word. Puritan pastor Richard Baxter once said, "I preach as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." I preach in a way of, what if I were never to preach again? What if this was the last sermon that I ever had the opportunity to preach? I preach in a way where I'm not sure if I'll ever be able to preach again. And I preach as a dying man to dying men. You look, and there's a message that is here for us, and that is in God's Word, and that is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation that comes by faith alone in Christ alone. Salvation that comes solely through faith in the work of Christ upon the cross. Clarity that is there within the gospel. Preach that. As a dying man to dying men, tell them, here is where you can find life. Here is where your thirst could be quenched. Here is the glorious news of the gospel. Preach that. I think of Paul in the letter of 1 Corinthians where he says, "Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God." He says, that's the message. The message that is to come forward is the message of the cross. It's not with wisdom of words. The message isn't to be something where the people in the congregation look and say, "Oh, wow, the way that person speaks," or the way that they're able to put all of their thoughts together, the wisdom that comes from there, all that I learn as far as within history, or what I learn with science, or what I learn with all of these other things. Wow, I go there and it's I just feel so much smarter when I leave. It's not to be just simply wisdom of words or putting the words together in a way that would be most effective to reach the biggest number of people. He says, for the message of the cross of Christ could be made of no effect. You can make it to where you're saying all of these things, but Christ and Him crucified is not what's being preached. Paul goes on, he says, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We look and we look at the Old Testament and we preach Christ and Him crucified. We look at the New Testament and we preach Christ and Him crucified, because the only means of us having righteousness is in Him. The purpose of our life is in Christ and Him crucified. chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he goes on and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I came to you, and it wasn't with eloquence of speech. It was in the purity of the gospel, the message that comes from God. What is it that He says? What is it that He teaches? What is it that He is speaking to me in God's Word?" There's people within our congregation who may move someplace else or who are not from this particular area. The primary thing that you should be looking for in a pastor is someone who will preach the Word, where God's Word's being taught. Turn with me and back to the book of 1 Timothy. Look with me at chapter 3. You see the callings that are there for a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." If someone desires to be in ministry as a pastor, you could also say he desires a good work. "A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony in those whom are on the outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." These things were all taken into consideration as the authoritative word of God as far as what is it to be qualified to be in a place as a candidate for ordination. We see within the life of Jeff that he meets these requirements, although not in perfection, just as there's nobody that meets these things in perfection. This is what we see within his life. If you look at chapter 4, verse 6, it gives more instruction to those in ministry. He says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." You want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. It's not simply meeting these qualifications, but in a practical sense, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Carefully following good doctrine. Looking and going through Scripture and saying, what is it that God says? It's so important for all of us to look and say, that's where I want. I want to have good doctrine. I don't want to think, well, I don't believe that because my God's just not like that. He wouldn't do that. But looking and saying, how does God describe Himself? What is it that God tells us about who He is? What is it that God tells us about who we are? We talk about man's depravity here. Last week's sermon, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, not talked about all that frequently. But the fact of the matter is we need to be able to look and say, this is what sin is like. This is who we are. Here is our abilities and our inabilities. And to be able to look and say, we're totally dependent upon Christ. Doctrine matters. It matters. Truth matters. God's Word matters. If you go down to verse 12 in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." To young Timothy, Paul says, don't let people despise your youth. They may be at a place of saying, hey, but he's young. God says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Be in a place where you're an example to the believers in word. Your conduct, your love, and spirit and faith and impurity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What is it that God calls ministers to? You look here and it says, to the reading of God's word. Give attention to the reading of God's word. To exhortation. Reading it and exhorting God's people. Thus saith the Lord, with all authority I can say these things because God says it in Scripture. To doctrine. Give attention to it. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. We hear Paul's exhortation. And what he's saying is, meditate on these things. Those, it mentioned, give yourself entirely to them. Entirely to them. I remember being in seminary and listening to some of the guys talk, and they would say, well, how long do you, spend preparing for a sermon? And I'd say, 25, 35 hours. What? You crazy? How much time do you spend? 2 hours? 3 hours? Right beforehand. Just read and then I go do it. It's youth ministry. And you look and you think, really? Is this what this is talking about? No, it says, give yourself entirely to them. I met with Pastor Jeff this last week and talked about where his priorities ought to lay. Give yourself entirely to God's word. Think of Martin Lloyd-Jones, great preacher in England. He taught there in London, and looking at his life, one of his friends said, he brought more of the sense of God than any other man. Brought more of the sense of God. Teaching came forward. And as a result, I knew God. I got to hear what is it that God says? What is it that He thinks? What is it that He has revealed to us? Who is He? And a friend says he brought more of the sense of God than any other man. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Make it so your progress is evident to all. Pray to God that the way that I teach right now will not be the way that I'm teaching 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now. Going back in the early 90s and listening to something that I taught at that time, I listened. I said, oh, can't believe I said that, or did it that way. And yet you look, and I pray to God that there is progress that's evident to all as the Lord is working in me, just as He is working in you, and as He's working in Jeff, as he continues to grow in his teaching, that his progress will be made evident to all. But take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. If you look with me at 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Paul's exhortation to Timothy is, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of God's word or what he says or the glorious gospel that is there. In verse 13, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The ability to do these things is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, keeping you in these things. We began by looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies. I'm very aware that I could spend however many hours preparing a sermon, but unless the Holy Spirit is working within your heart, it will just fall on deaf ears. Nobody has the ability to put things together or speak in such a way where it's because of that person that their hearts are changed. It's the Holy Spirit who is working, who is speaking, who makes his word pierce hearts. Paul says, hold fast. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among so many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be able to please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So as Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, be strong. Be strong in what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you've heard from me and many witnesses, the things that are here in Scripture, Paul says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I'm excited about that as we look at Jeff leading within youth ministries. Go through and discipleship is to occur. Spending time with others, ministering to our young people here and ministering to others in such a way where we look and we say, the goal is that you're able to teach others also. Discipleship occurring. Look at our church, and as we began Reverence Bible Church, one of the things that we talked about the most is, how is it that we can stay away from any kind of liberalism creeping in to the church? How do we stay away from error? How do we stay to where we are committed to preaching and teaching God's word, the doctrines of grace, what it is that he has called us to? How do we stay committed to that? Pastor Bill was saying, make disciples. Every church that wavers or goes, wanders far from where they started, what was the problem? There wasn't the regular teaching and preaching of God's word. It was de-emphasized. Not only that, but there wasn't disciples that were made. I look and I think of the evangelical Lutheran church right now. In the last couple of weeks, they voted to make it so that homosexuals can serve as pastors within the church. I think the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination, that it's sin, that it's doing what's unnatural. It's sin. It doesn't matter what the culture around you says. God says so clearly in Scripture that it is sin. You look at the qualifications of what it is to be a pastor, and nowhere in there does it even give you the idea that it's okay to be living in sin in the life of homosexuality. Nowhere does it say that. And you look at an entire denomination that has gone in a direction to where they have voted and said, hey, we believe that it's okay for a homosexual to serve as a pastor within a church. I look at that and I think, my next door neighbor It's a part of a Lutheran church that's a part of that denomination. And she said that she was getting on websites and blogging and or writing and responding to people saying that she believes this is sin. And I gave her all this information as far as what is it that's in God's word and how we can say, like, this is, it's clearly sin. It's not okay. And she said, is something wrong with me? Literally, like, all these people are responding to me. No one agrees with me. Everybody is saying the opposite. Everybody's saying how judgmental I am. And I think about it and I just think, what would Martin Luther be doing? Martin Luther, if he were to think the Lutheran Church has now said that it is okay for someone living in homosexuality to serve as a pastor, he'd be rolling over in his grave right now. Not only that, there would be something far different than a 95 thesis that would be posted on that church door. I guarantee you. And you look at it, and it's not just the Lutherans. But you see it where entire mainline denominations are going in a direction where liberalism is just filling it. Schools that were so conservative, like Princeton, far, far, far from being conservative today. People that held to the Bible as God's word have wandered so far from it. And as these things have happened, as they've crept in, you look and you say, how'd the church get to that particular place? How do we keep from doing it? Preach the word. Preach the word with all authority. Preach the word. Hold fast to sound words. Preach doctrine. Go through and look and say, what is it that it teaches? Preach the word. Make disciples. Make disciples. Commit these things to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Look, and I see us being in a place where there continues to be a remnant of churches across our nation that are committed to sound doctrine, committed to preach the word, committed to have worship services in which people are being taught God's word in its entirety. And I think about that and I just think, God, help that to be the movement that takes place. Help us as a church to have an impact on this, as well as praying for other churches that are faithfully preaching God's word. And God help it to where He uses Pastor Jeff Paisano towards that. As He disciples young people, we raise them up, we send them out, and we watch what God accomplishes. This isn't rocket science. It's not coming up with some new clever thing. Do you get the idea? Paul never says, Timothy, come up with something new, something clever. And he says, just go back to the things that you know, that you've been taught. Hold fast to these things. Hold fast to sound doctrine. There's going to be people that are going to come in, and they're going to be teaching every kind of wind and doctrine. Don't follow that. Preach the word. Commitment to God's word. Listening to Pastor Jeff preach, there's no question in my mind that he is committed to the preaching of God's word. Watched him for over 4 years since the church began, watching and seeing that is his heart, that is his commitment. There is a love for Christ, a love for the gospel, a love for preaching Christ and him crucified, a love for doctrine. And what is being taught is what is coming off the pages of Scripture. For that reason, we can strongly, enthusiastically, faithfully recognize his ordination to pastoral ministries as a minister here at Reverence Bible Church. And we're excited about that. I want to ask him to come forward and ask Pastor Bill to come up as well. Pastor Bill, feel free to say as much as you'd like to say in a minute. And then if you can pray for Pastor Jeff, and we will close with a time of worship. Pastor Matt, can you come up?
All the elders, please come. They're here. There they are. The elders are too elder. I want to preface my prayer to say that I love you, Jeff. I'm privileged to be a part of your life. And just encourage you not to tell Pastor Kevin any more about your past.
Noted.
Are we ready to pray? Okay. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are joining church history here this morning, in that you have called Jeffrey Hollis Paisano in the long line of pastors that you have called throughout church history. And now we are here with a man whom you have called and placed in him your trust to be a minister of your word, a shepherd of your flock. Thank you for calling him, and thank you that we have the privilege of confirming that and approving that. We thank you so much for the gifts and talents that you've given to Jeff. They're too numerous to list here. We thank you. Thank you for his gift as a cook and those great ribs that we enjoy at our church dinners. Thank you for the great ministry to the youth and to all of us. We thank you. We pray for him and ask that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, that he would be filled with the Word of God and the love for your people. We pray for Jeff and Angela. God bless Angela with your abundant mercy in her role as a pastor's wife. Bless Jeff and Angela and Liliana and the six to follow. Thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, and dear Holy Spirit. This is our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.